This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Detroit and good news in the same sentence.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The big three car makers report July sales today, and Ford has said it's going to show its first year-over-year sales increase in almost 2 years. Paul Eisenstein follows the auto industry for the DetroitBureau.com. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
These are July sales. It is just 1 month, but we're deep in a recession. Two of these companies have been recently bankrupt. How big a deal is an increase year over year in July?
Well, certainly the industry is pretty happy to get any increase considering how bad things have been for more than a year. We've gone from 17 million to less than 10 million a year in annualized sales. So they'll take anything they can get, and the numbers aren't all that bad.
The big question today is whether Congress will extend the Cash for Clunkers incentive program. Whenever that money runs out, are we then a month later going to be saying, oh no, auto sales have tanked again?
That's the big concern. Remember, that's the type of folks who are normally in the market, who are typically trading in every 2, 3, 4 years. Those folks haven't really gotten much of a payoff from this, and it appears that there is some concern that as soon as this program goes away, the auto market could show some real signs of deterioration, especially if the economy doesn't cooperate.
Paul, we know Ford sales are up in July because they've given a little preview. GM and Chrysler have not yet. What do we think we're going to hear today about whether bankruptcy has hurt those companies' sales?
Well, the impact of bankruptcy may be disguised by the impact of the Cash for Clunkers deal. I think there are an awful lot of folks that appear to be staying away from their showrooms, just saying that they are disgruntled, if you will, about the idea of federal bailouts. And it's all but certain that there'll be at least some impact, even underlying a positive month with the benefit of Cash for Clunkers.
Paul Eisenstein is bureau chief at the DetroitBureau.com. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
Now let's check the markets. European stocks are up 1% or 2%. The big banks Barclays and HSBC say the future is looking brighter. Asian shares were mostly higher today. China's manufacturing expanded in July at its fastest rate in a year. July was good to Wall Street. On Friday, the Dow ended the month at 9,171. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton leaves tomorrow on a 10-day, seven-nation tour of Africa. First stop is Kenya for an annual African Trade and Investment Conference. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports the themes of her trip will be trade, investment, and government corruption.
Coming just 3 weeks after President Obama's visit to Ghana, the State Department says this tour underscores the administration's commitment to improving ties with Africa.
Well, the symbolism is obviously important, but the substance is even more important.
So far, Paul Rehberg with the African Coalition for Trade has seen nothing new from the Obama administration. He says what African countries need are trade incentives so their exports can compete with Asia. But the U.S. will only help countries that fight government corruption, and that condition puts the U.S. at a disadvantage, says Stephen Hayes with the Corporate Council on Africa.
China doesn't ask of that. So it's easier for people in leadership who have fostered and fed on corruption to gravitate towards China as opposed to the United States.
Hayes says next year China will likely overtake the U.S. as the world's largest investor in Africa. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
Have you noticed that gallon of milk at the breakfast table is about 75 cents cheaper than it was this time last year? Great for the shopper, not great for dairy farmers. From NET Radio in Nebraska, Sarah McCammon reports.
It's milking time at David Yeesha's farm in eastern Nebraska. Ceiling fans stir the air, and flies buzz around the black and white Holstein cows as they file into the milking parlor 30 at a time. Yeesha's parents started this dairy farm after World War II. He's run the farm since the early 1970s, and today he raises about 300 cows. But now, milk prices paid to farmers are at their lowest point in three decades, adjusted for inflation. So Yeesha says he's digging into savings and borrowing money just to keep the dairy going.
I'd just shut the door right now if I could and just sit. What do you do with the cows? You just can't dry cows up.
Some farms have been forced to shut their doors. The National Milk Producers Federation reports dairy farmers around the country are selling off part or all of their herds in desperation. Chris Galen is a spokesperson for the federation. He says the global recession is pushing down both demand and prices. That's at a time when dairy farmers face high energy and feed costs.
So farmers are caught in a vice. It's a price vice because low prices and the high price of inputs are really squeezing farmers right now.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is taking emergency steps to prop up the dairy industry. It's spending about $1 billion this year in direct payments to producers and to buy milk products. The USDA's David Lazarus says the goal is to help the industry deal with this period of low prices.
It's really this near-term gap. It's an emergency situation that we hope folks can make it through.
Back at the dairy farm, Yeesha says he's receiving some support payments from USDA, about enough money to cover 10% of his losses. Outside his milking barn, the cows gather around a trough and nibble at their feed.
Yeah, when they're content, they're very quiet. If you'd come here and we'd just sit down and sit on the edge of the bunk, you know, and just not do anything, they'd be all petting you and licking you and rubbing their heads into you.
Yeesha says he'll keep feeding his cows and hope milk prices bounce back soon. In eastern Nebraska, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And finally, domestic mogul Martha Stewart turns 68 today. Her company posted a quarterly loss last week of about $6.5 million, but she has a new venture in the works, an online entertainment series on AOL with the working title of Little Martha. It's about a 10-year-old Martha Stewart who runs an event planning company from her tricked-out treehouse. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.